The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 12, Text Number 22. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on January 9th, 2011, in Wellington, New Zealand.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter number 12, The Birth of Emperor Parikshit, text number 22. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Mrigendra Iva Vikranta Nishevya Himavan Iva Titikshu Vasudha Iva Aso Sahishnu Pitaro Iva Magendra Iva Vikranto Nishevyo Himavan Iva Titikshur Vasudevasau Sahishnu Pitaraviva Magrendra Iva Vikranto Nishevyo Himavan Iva Titikshur Vasudevasau Sahishnu Pitaraviva Nagendra, the lion. Eva, like. Vikranta, powerful. Nishevya, worthy of taking shelter. Himavan, the Himalaya mountains. Eva, like. Titikshu, forbearance. Vasudha Iva, like the earth. Aso, the child. Sahishnu, tolerant. Pitaro, parents. Iva, like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. This child will be as strong as a lion and as worthy a shelter as the Himalaya mountains. He will be forbearing like the earth and as tolerant as his parents. One is compared to the lion when one is very strong in chasing an enemy. One should be a lamb at home and a lion in the chase. The lion never fails in the chase of an animal. Similarly, the head of the state should never fail in chasing an enemy. The Himalaya mountains are famous for all richness. There are innumerable caves to live in, numberless trees of good fruits to eat, good springs to drink water from, and profuse drugs and minerals to cure diseases. Any man who is not materially prosperous can take shelter of these great mountains. He will be provided with everything required. Both the materialist and the spiritualist can take advantage of the great shelter of the Himalayas. On the surface of the earth, there are so many disturbances caused by the inhabitants. In the modern age, the people have begun to detonate atomic weapons on the surface of the earth. And still the earth is forbearing to the inhabitants like a mother who excuses a little child. Parents are always tolerant to children for all sorts of mischievous acts. An ideal king may be possessed of all these good qualities, and the king Parikshit is foretold to have all these qualities in perfection. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So where is a king like Parikshit? Where are such leaders as Parikshit Maharaj? The whole world is suffering because we are not being led by such a leader as Parikshit Maharaj. When the leaders become dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, shvavidvara ushtrakare sangstutak purishak pushu najattakarma patho peito jatu namagadagracho. Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who do not listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, gadagraja, the deliverer from all evils. So our present day society is not a Vedic culture headed by a saintly king like Parikshit Maharaj. It is a society of animals, dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. So what do we expect when they go for voting? When the dogs get together to elect a leader, who will they vote for? A big dog, that's a. When the hogs get together, a big, big hog. Camels, they want one of their own kind, you see. Just like now the gay people are mobilizing themselves to vote, so they're electing gay leaders, you see. The gay person, he wants a gay leader. Just like now, many of the leading politicians are gay people. In Houston, Texas, a major city, the mayor is gay, you see. So when the gay people go to vote, they want to vote for a gay person. So the modern day people are simply on the level of animals. They elect animal-like leaders. So in this way, the entire society is is plunged into chaotic condition. The leaders do not have a clue as to what is the actual purpose of human life. Their philosophy is eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. And they impart that consciousness. They spread that consciousness naturally to the people. You see? Yad acharati shrestas tattadayavitaro jana sayat pramanam kurute lokastad anivartate. Whatever the great man does, the common people follow in his footsteps. Whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So when you give these people the big positions, these people who have no Krishna consciousness, who simply after name, fame, profit, adoration, and distinction, when you allow these people to lead the society, then everybody suffers. The whole world is suffering because of mismanagement. We need this caliber of leadership as Parikshit Maharaj was manifesting. In the Vedic culture, you had the Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. The Brahmins, they have no interest in political position. They are simply engaged in studying what is Brahman and teaching what is Brahman. What is studying what is the absolute truth and teaching what is the absolute truth. And then under their guidance, there was a class of Kshatriya, political rulers. Powerful warriors, not that they would sit in the palace and send the shooters out to get killed in the battlefield. If there is fight, these Kshatriyas, they would lead the fight. Even in recent centuries, that Kshatriya spirit was very much famous within the Rajasthani kings. There was one day, the king went out to fight an enemy. And he returned back to his palace having been defeated. So the queen, she locked the palace. She locked the gates. She said, that cannot be my husband. You see? My husband, he will be victorious in battle or he will die in the battle. He would never return defeated to the palace. So she locked him up. She rejected him. This is not my husband. You see? This was the Kshatriya spirit. They were very valiant warriors. They would either die in the battle or they'd be victorious. They wouldn't be defeated. They would not remain defeated and alive to become prisoner of war of the opposing forces. They were very powerful in battle. So the king himself would be on the battlefield leading the fight. They're very courageous, very heroic. Of course, wars in those days were quite different than they are now. Nowadays it's very brutal. So many innocent people are killed. In the former times, the wars were conducted something like, nowadays we have sporting match. Two teams would get together to see who wins the trophy, you see. The two armies would get together and they would see who wins the kingdom. That's all. It was done in a very chivalrous way. They would have all respect for the opposing soldiers. Oh, he is a great warrior, you see. They would appreciate even an enemy soldier who shows great valor in his fighting. Even as lately as during World War I, I read in the histories, there was a big war going on, World War I, especially between Germany and Britain. They were fighting in the air. They would have these, they called dogfights. They would go up in the air and they try to shoot each other down, the old propeller planes. And there was one German pilot, he was very, very expert in these dogfights. His name was, they called him the Red Baron. He became legendary. You can never shoot him down. You'd always be, he would always defeat you. Anyone who went against the Red Baron, he shot down. The Red Baron was never shot down. But one day he was flying over Britain, and he was somebody from the earth shot him down, but nobody in the sky shot him down. Somebody from below actually shot him down, and he was killed. So when he crashed in Britain, they gave him a hero's burial. They gave him an honorary, they honored him as a great hero, even though he was enemy, you see. So this Kshatriya spirit, this chivalrous spirit, even in World War, as late as World War I, we still see it was manifested, you see, in the human society. Amazing. So many thousands of years of Kali Yuga have passed, but a little bit of Kshatriya, that idea of that Kshatriya spirit was still going on, even in World War I, in the fighter pilots, you see. The innocent citizens were not touched at all by the war. There could be a farmer out there, you know, milking his cows, growing his crops, and across the road there's a war going on between the two armies, and he's not even affected. Completely unaffected by the war. Well, they're across the road, there's the two armies battling it out to see who's going to rule the kingdom. It's like a duel. In recent American history, two gentlemen, this is like maybe 150 years ago, if two gentlemen had some disagreement, they would settle it by having a duel. Each one would take a gun, and they would stand back to back, and they would walk so many paces like this, and they'd turn around and they would shoot. And whoever wins, wins. Whoever loses, loses. And it settled. One man lives, the other man is dead, you see. And they would settle up in a gentlemanly way. Well, we have an unresolvable dispute now. We'll have a duel and resolve it this way. So now there's certain rules. There's certain rules of the game. Not like you ambush somebody in the middle of the night, you throw a bomb in their window, something like that. No. That's not a gentlemanly way to resolve. So the whole Kshatriya, everything was very done like a gentleman. You have certain rules of conduct, and you follow the rules, you see. Everyone follows the rules. So the Vedic culture, even in military, even in the program of military conquest, you would follow the rules. And only the warrior class would be involved in the struggle. The citizens were just peacefully going on. It didn't matter. You know, then the only difference is, well, I pay my taxes to this king, or I pay my taxes to that king. That's all. But my business remains. I peacefully carry on with my activities. You know, chanting Hare Krishna, milking the cow, harvesting the crops, you know, attending Bhagavatam class, or whatever, you see. And just peacefully go on. They weren't disturbed by the wars. Nowadays, it's all hell, you see. Innocent citizens are being butchered and murdered. It's a horrible thing, you see. We require Kshatriya leadership on this planet once again. We desperately need Kshatriya leadership. Vedic Kshatriya leadership on this planet. What happened was, the Kali Yuga came, the king gradually became very degraded more and more and more and more and more. Of course, the original position was, the actual persons behind the scenes who were in charge were the priestly class, because the kings were subordinate to the Brahmins. So the actual leaders or rulers of the human society were the Brahmins, who would guide the kings according to the Vedic scriptures. But so we see that even that carried on, even like formerly the Catholic Church, for example, was very powerful, and the kings were subordinate to the Pope. But then when the popes became more and more degraded, the king said, we were not going to follow this anymore, we're just going to rule, just like the king of England. He didn't like the decision of the Pope, so he said, okay, we break off from your Catholic Church. We'll start a new church here, the Church of England. We don't appreciate the way you're giving instructions, so we will start our own. So in this way, the authority of the Brahmins was rejected. And now the kings, they take the power. But then the king became so corrupt, then the people said, no, let's throw out the king, you see. Then the Vaishyas take over. So that's the situation now. The money men, they're actually ruling the society behind. There may be politicians out there, but they're simply puppets in the hands of the money men. And then, when that becomes so much corrupt, then you'll have a thing like the communist revolution, where throw out the money men. You know, throw out the money men, take away the entrepreneurialism, take away... Take this all away and just let the workers rule, you see. No more private ownership of businesses. Let the government own the businesses and everybody just be shudras working for the government. So in this way, there's a gradual degradation from the Brahmin class, the Kshatriya class, or the Vaishya class, to the Shudra class. And people just become more and more miserable. The whole situation becomes more and more negated, more and more troublesome situation. So what Prabhupada is giving is the ideal solution for the problems of the world. He is reestablishing a class of Brahmins, and then the natural thing, once that will, the natural second thing that will happen when the class of Brahmins are created is you'll have a class of Kshatriyas will come out too. The Brahmins will teach in such a way that they'll be persons of high caliber leadership qualities who have a tendency to lead, who have a propensity to lead, and who have a sincere desire to actually do good for the people. Now they'll have something to plug into. They'll have the training of the Brahmin class to actually give them the information, the guidance, the inspiration, the guidelines, everything they need, how to rule the society in such a way that everybody becomes benefited. So in this way, the wonderful Vedic culture can be reestablished on this planet. So now here we are, 2011. The world is in a very, very chaotic condition. There's so many problems. The politicians recognize the problems, but they can't stop the problems. Because of the economics. They may say, we'll stop polluting the air, but the non-polluting alternative doesn't make as much profit as the polluting alternative. We have to do things in a non-polluting way. Well, it doesn't make as much money to do it in the non-polluting way. It's more profitable to do it in the polluting way. So the monetary interests override the higher interests of the well-being, you see. And because the politicians are bought out by the money men, they're powerless to actually do what needs to be done to solve the problems of the world. It's more profitable to keep the world in its present, to keep things running on the level of greed. It's more profitable to keep things dirty and polluted than to clean up the atmosphere on this planet. So as long as you let money be the ruling factor, the society will never be straightened out. Never be straightened out. That has to be the ruling factors. Ishavashamidam sarvam yatkincha jagadam jagat tena chaktena bunjita magrida kutishvidnanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things necessary for himself, which is set aside as his quota, knowing well to whom everything belongs. This is the principle that has to be reestablished on this planet. Knowing well to whom everything belongs is Krishna. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvadam. Krishna is the owner. Sarvaloka maheshvadam. Sarva means all, loka is planets. Maheshvaram, I'm the lord of all the planets. And since he is the lord of all the planets, then Bhaktaram jagatapasam, I'm the enjoyer. So who is the rightful enjoyer of something? Who's the rightful enjoyer of your car? You see, the owner of the car is the rightful enjoyer of the car. Who is the rightful enjoyer of the wife? The husband, not someone else, you see. The owner, he is the rightful enjoyer. So, since Krishna is owner of everything, everything should be done for his enjoyment. If we try to do something separate from Krishna's enjoyment, then we are creating a polluted situation, which creates havoc and creates a hellish atmosphere on this planet. Therefore, we cannot continue going on like this, basing things, basing the whole society on profit. It has to be based on the higher principle of God is the owner, God is the enjoyer. That has to be reestablished. Therefore, we need a very powerful class of Brahmins. That is the mission of ISKCON, is to create a very, very powerful class of Brahmins. Those who are fixed, who know what is Brahman, who are fixed in Brahman, and who teach what is Brahman, Krishna consciousness. That is the topmost platform of Brahman. Brahmabhuta prasanadma nasochati nakangshati samaksraveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate padam. Bhagavad Gita chapter 18, text number 54. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once comes to the level of Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He does not lament about anything, he doesn't hanker for anything. He's equally disposed towards all living entities, and in that transcendental state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. So we need a class of men and women on this planet. We desperately need on this planet right now a class of men and women who are fixed in Brahman, Krishna consciousness. Who are the well-wishing friends of all. It doesn't matter if you're my friend, you're for me, or you're my enemy and you're against me, still I'm your well-wishing friend. You see, that is a Brahman. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmane gavihashtani shunni chayava supakecha pandita samadarshanaha. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast. So the Brahman, as a person who is actually fixed in Krishna consciousness, he is the friend of everyone. Just as Krishna is friend of everyone, Suhridam Sarabhutanam, his devotee is also Suhridam Sarabhutanam. He is friend to all. He is simply wishing upon them the greatest blessing of Krishna consciousness to all living beings, even the animals, even the plants. He's thinking of how to liberate everyone. The pure devotee of Krishna is thinking of how can I live my life in such a way that everyone will become benefited, everyone will become uplifted, everyone will become delivered from the cycle of birth and death. He's always thinking how to live a life in that sort of way so that everyone can, on this planet, can become happy. Even the whole universe, everyone can become happy. So if we have such a class of Brahmins, and Prabhupada is creating Brahmins, we are meant to be Brahmins, you see. That is our second initiation. First initiation, all right, chanting 16 rounds, following the principle. Now you've shown that you're steady, you can really do that. Now, second initiation, Brahman. Now your trial period was there, and you've proven you're fixed, all right, now we recognize you as Brahman. Now you're meant to be truly a Brahman. Not just in name only, Brahman. Now you're meant truly to be a Brahman. Shamadamastaparshocham shantirarjamamevacha jnanam vijnanamastikam bhama karmasvabhavajam. What is Brahman? Controlling the mind, controlling the senses, samadhamma, tapa, austerity, saucham, cleanliness, chantir, tolerance, arjavam, honesty, evacha, jnanam, knowledge, vijnanam, practical application of knowledge, astyakyam, religiousness, or full faith in the scriptures. Now you're Brahman. Now you become actually Brahman. You see. Control your mind. Control your senses. Be clean. Be austere. Be tolerant. Be honest. Have knowledge. Have realization of knowledge. You see. Teach it. Then you're a Brahman. Then you're a real Brahman. So if we can establish this class of Brahman, then the leaders will naturally, those persons who are inclined to lead, they'll be very inspired to see. Here is a principle. I can use my leadership propensity in such a way with these principles that I can actually do the highest good for the human society. So it'll be very inspiring for those who have that tendency to lead to come in contact with Prabhupada's books, to actually understand what Prabhupada is saying and to see those persons who are actually living, the Brahmins, the real Brahmins, who are actually living according to Srila Prabhupada's teachings. They'll be very inspired by this. So in this way, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, when the high court judges are wearing tilak, then we are successful. So until we actually can create this, the ruling class, you see, Krishna consciousness, until the leaders of the society, the high court judges, the prime ministers, the members of parliament, the presidents, until they actually become Krishna conscious, the ruling class, the ruling people, our movement's not successful yet. So we have to think how we can capture the leaders of the society and give them this Krishna consciousness, how we can attract them to this Krishna consciousness movement. So the happy days of Vedic Dharma can again be reestablished on this planet. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yes?
They said that Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, but then nowadays the Shudras are ruling, so isn't it difficult to make the Shudras into the devotees or give them Krishna consciousness because they are so mandas?
Yes. So what is the question?
So how can we, because the Shudras are in the leading position, so how can we make the Shudras devotees?
Massive book distribution, massive Harinam Sankirtan, and massive Prasadam distribution. That's the solution. Prasadam, Harinam Sankirtan, and books. We have to inundate this planet with Prabhupada's books, Harinam Sankirtan, and Prasadam distribution. That's how we can do it. That's how we'll be successful.
But some of these leaders, Shudras, they don't even read the books even if they get it.
Even if they get the book and they give it a respectful place in their bookshelf, they make progress. They stay in the next one. Even if they don't read it, they say, well, this looks like a valuable book. Let me just put it on my bookshelf in a respectable place. Even by doing that, they make spiritual advancement. Yeah. These books are so powerful. Any other questions? Yeah.
And when the Brahmana wrote, as they're suffering?
What is the question?
Sorry? When the Brahmana rule, the Brahman rule, is there still suffering on earth?
If the Brahman, they rule the world, will there be any suffering?
If the Brahmanas rule the world,
When the Krishna conscious Brahmins actually rule the society, it will become a very peaceful. The suffering will be reduced almost to nil. People will live long lives, they'll be healthy, they'll be happy, there'll be loving relationships everywhere. All these wars between nations will stop. It'll be a wonderful, there'll be like heaven on earth again. Of course, we'll still get old because they can die. But see, it'll be like when the Krishna conscious men actually become the leading, recognized as the leading authorities on this planet, when ISKCON is seen as the leading institution on this planet, then the whole world will become in a happy, peaceful condition. That's a fact.
Okay. And when you're Christ conscious, don't you have the powers to teleport and transmute?
When you are Christ conscious,
yeah.
Then what?
Then you can teleport. Yes.
Walk on water.
What?
You'll then be on the.
There will be war on the world. War.
When Krishna consciousness or Christ consciousness.
Of our mind's perception. So we wouldn't be sitting on the ground. If our mind wanted us to, we could go like this.
Oh, elevated.
And oh, we have levitating around.
Levitating. When we become Christ-conscious.
Actually, that is to levitate is a yogic siddhi. One can develop that power by yogic practice. It's not a very important thing. The yogis, they can elevate themselves a few feet off the ground, but still they have to die. So what's the value of it, you see? If you want to be really, if you want the real levitation, then one has to take your pure Krishna bhakti. And then you can levitate yourself all the way out of this universe. You can levitate yourself beyond the cycle of birth and death. That's real levitation. The perfection of levitation is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, because then you can levitate yourself out of this universe. The yogi, he can only levitate himself 1 or 2 feet off the ground. What's the advantage of 1 or 2 feet? I can get on the airplane and levitate 30,000 feet.
Yeah.
So just by buying a ticket on Jetstar, I can levitate more than the yogis can. So what's the great accomplishment of 2 feet off the ground? I can go 30,000 feet just by getting a ticket on Jetstar. But what one should do then is develop pure Krishna consciousness and then levitate himself completely out of the cycle of birth and death.
Yeah.
Okay, anybody else have a question? Okay, we'll stop here. We thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai Shriman Sankarshan Basit Gaur Maharaj ki.
Jai.